Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, November 22nd, 2019. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Patrick Murphy. Jonah Booker is under the weather this week, so get well, J-Book. We will talk to you next week, my friend. It is a big recruiting weekend for Ohio State, and I'm going to start off talking about that, then we'll bring Patrick in. We'll talk about the big game itself between Ohio State and Penn State. But just starting out with recruiting, I just want to run down the list of players that will be in town for the big game tomorrow. Three players will be on official visits. They're all Ohio State commits: Legend Cavazos, Jacob James, and Trey LaRue. So they'll be on official visits. The big visit in the 2020 class is Mayan Williams, the running back from Cincinnati Winton Woods. He will be on an unofficial visit coming up with his mother. It's been tough to get him to come from Cincinnati all the way up here, an hour and a half down the road to Columbus, but he's finally going to make the trip. And I keep saying this about Mayan Williams. He might not be highly rated or anything like that. He is the exact type of player where if another program stole him, like he's currently committed to Iowa State and he blew up at Iowa State, everybody and their mother would be asking, why didn't Ohio State offer Mayan Williams? So I'm glad they're in on Mayan Williams. We'll see what happens there. And a few other Ohio State commits will be on unofficial visits. Mookie Cooper, Paris Johnson will be here, Grant Toutant, Jacoby Cohen, Jack Sawyer, Ty Hamilton, and Jake Siebert will all be here. And then I'm going to look at some of the 2021 kids, and then we'll move on. 2021 prospects that will be here on, of course, unofficial visits. They can't take officials yet. Running back Evan Pryor, tight end Christian Burkhalter, offensive lineman J.C. Latham, offensive lineman Donovan Jackson, offensive lineman Trey Zune, offensive lineman Jager Burton, offensive lineman Rayshon Benny, defensive end Jason Oyne, defensive end Monkel Goodwine, defensive end Tyson Watson, defensive end Aaron Armitage, defensive lineman Rocco Spindler, defensive lineman Marcus Bradley. Again, these are 2021 prospects that will be on unofficial visits to Ohio State tomorrow. Defensive lineman Tywone Malone, defensive lineman Mike Hall, linebacker Aaron Willis, and defensive backs Jalen Johnson, Bryce Steele, and Andre Turatine. So you can see they're really going in. There's a lot of defensive linemen on this trip, a lot of offensive linemen. So a bunch of 2021 linemen will be in town for the game tomorrow. So it's going to be a huge recruiting weekend. Bill Krulik will be all over it. Bill Green will be all over it. Steve Wiltfong and the national team will be all over it. So keep it locked to Bucknuts for all that. But now let's switch gears. Let's bring Patrick Murphy in here and talk about the game itself. Ohio State, Penn State tomorrow at the Horseshoe, high noon, big noon kickoff. Weather could be a factor, Patrick. They're calling for a 60 to 70% chance of rain during the game. Temperatures won't be bad. Temperatures will be around 40. Winds won't be bad either. They're calling for 5 to 6 mile per hour winds during the game. But it could be wet for most of the game. How much of a factor do you think that could be? We saw how Ohio State was very conservative in the rain against Wisconsin. Just if it does rain during the game, how much do you think that could factor into the outcome?
I think that Ohio State has to throw the ball. I think, you know, we've seen the last couple games as they've opened things up a little bit in the passing game and really worked on that. Ryan Day talked about the fact that coming out of the bye week against teams like Maryland and Rutgers, they wanted to continue to develop that passing game with the offensive line and Justin Fields and the receivers. And I think that was looking ahead to this game, you know, against a team like Penn State that has struggled with the pass defense. Now the weather certainly will play a part. If it's raining, obviously you don't want to make mistakes. You don't want to have turnovers in these type of situations. But as Ryan Day said yesterday when we talked to him, both teams have to deal with the weather and they just have to deal with whatever comes their way. I think that they've prepared for this. You know, Justin Fields isn't a guy who's played in a ton of wet conditions before. Some of the receivers, I remember Chris Olave after the Wisconsin game saying that You know, he hadn't played in many wet game conditions until he got to Ohio State coming out of California. But, you know that's something you deal with playing in the Big Ten, the cold in November. So, if Ohio State's going to win games in November, going forward, not just this year, with these guys playing, they're going to have to deal with these conditions. And I think they've prepared for it just fine. But it could affect the approach a little bit. You know, Penn State's rush defense is very good. If J.K. Dobbins can't get going, I think he will. I think we've seen that Ohio State's able to handle highly touted rush defenses. But if Penn State's able to slow them down, they may have to go to the air more than they want to in the rain. But I expect Ohio State to try and have a balanced attack as usual. And, even if it is wet, even if it is cold, try and throw the ball. Maybe not quite as much as they would have if it were dry and nice out, but, certainly, they're not going to abandon the passing game, I don't think.
When Ohio State has the ball, what do you expect, where do you think Ohio State has the advantages? Just what do you expect most when Ohio State has the ball?
As I mentioned, Penn State's pass defense has not been great this year, but especially these last two games. They're 85th in the country in pass defense, giving up 240 yards per game. Against Indiana last week, almost 400 yards, 371 yards Indiana had through the air, and against Minnesota 2 weeks ago, 339 passing. So, it's been an area teams can exploit, and neither Indiana nor Minnesota has the quarterback, the offensive line, and the receivers that Ohio State has. So I think that's where, assuming that they can throw the ball in the conditions, that's where Ohio State has to attack Penn State. The rush defense has been very good, as I mentioned. So, if J.K. Dobbins doesn't get going, I think these receivers have to get open. I think they will get open, and you can attack Penn State's secondary. Justin Fields coming off a career 305-yard passing day. Granted, that was against Rutgers, but, this Penn State pass defense isn't anything to write home about. So that's where I think Ohio State has a major advantage, in terms of offensively. I think on the other side of the ball, you could discuss, the defensive line for Ohio State. Obviously, Chase Young will be coming back, and I imagine he will be motivated to have a big game. The last time we saw him was against a very good Wisconsin offensive line, and all he did was finish with, tying the Ohio State record with 4 sacks. 5 tackles for a loss, a career day for him. But the other guys these past couple of weeks have shown what they can do as well. The rest of the defensive line, the linebackers, Ohio State has 8 sacks and I believe 16 tackles for a loss in these last two games without Chase Young. So you saw the depth of the defensive line and front seven in general in these games. And Penn State's offensive line has been good, not great. I think Chase Young will line up often against their redshirt freshman right tackle. So it could be a good day for him. And I think that's another area that they can exploit, getting the right matchups on that defensive line and trying to get to the quarterback, especially in passing situations.
Let's give some predictions, final score predictions, not to steal any thunder from our Bucknuts roundtable that will come out later today on the site. But I have this one, Ohio State 35, Penn State 13. The weather does give me a little bit of pause there. I tell you what, if this was just flat-out good weather conditions, I think I would pick more of a blowout. I just have a good feeling about this game. I guess I'm kind of picking a blowout anyway. 35-13 isn't a close score, but I wouldn't call that a blowout. So I do think Penn State's going to keep it close for a while, and then Ohio State's just going to pull away. How do you expect this game will go, Patrick, and what's your final score prediction?
Yeah, very similar to what you said. I think this game stays close for a while. I think it'll play out kind of similarly to the Wisconsin game. It's funny we mentioned that with the weather. Just, I think these are two good teams. Just Ohio State ends up being the more talented team, and I think talent prevails, especially being at home. I think you probably see it be decently close at halftime. Ohio State goes into the locker room, makes adjustments, comes out and pulls away at some point in the third quarter, gets a decent lead and then pushes it to a better lead in the fourth. I think Ohio State will throw the ball pretty much with no problem on this Penn State secondary. I just haven't been impressed with them, as I mentioned before. And my score is similar to yours, 35-15, I think is what I went with. So, very similar. I think they handle their business and move on next week to the big game up in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, that's the one that concerns me more. We'll get into that next week. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that team up north next week. I want to ask you this. If Ohio, talk about getting ahead of myself. If Ohio State and LSU both win their next three games, so they win out regular season, they win their conference championship games, do you see a path for Ohio State to jump LSU, since LSU would then have wins over Georgia, they'd have wins over, obviously, Alabama and Florida? All three of those teams could be ranked ahead of whoever Ohio State's best win is by the final rankings, whether it's Penn State, you know, Wisconsin twice, Minnesota, Michigan. I think it's going to come down to style points, Patrick. Ohio State's going to have style points if they're going to pass LSU if they both win out. Just break that down for me. Do you see a path back to number one for Ohio State?
I do, and I've written about this a couple times. I think the committee likes Ohio State more than LSU, and I think you saw that in the initial rankings. I think they like what Ohio State has done. The way they've looked, you mentioned the style points. They've just looked the part. They're, you know, the committee chair, Rob Mullins, said it in multiple times the last few weeks. You know, Ohio State is a complete team, offensively, defensively. When they talk about LSU, they talk about that offense. It's similar to Oklahoma last year, just a more impressive offense, or a more impressive defense slightly. So, you know, I think once Ohio State has comparable ranked wins. Now, they may not be quite the level of Alabama, but, you know, you get a win this week, assumingly they beat number 8 Penn State. Then they go to Ann Arbor. You assume that then they beat around the top 10 Michigan team. And then you obviously should get a ranked win in the Big Ten championship game that first weekend in December. So that gives you, you know, assuming Cincinnati stays in the rankings, you may end up playing the same Wisconsin team, but I think you look at that as two ranked wins. That's 5 ranked wins. LSU, with Texas dropping out, will only have 4 ranked wins, I believe, if my math's correct. So, you know, if you're already saying that Ohio State looks the more complete team because they're better offensively, or they're at least as good offensively and better defensively than LSU, and, you know, they go out and look the part in those games against other ranked teams, I think you move Ohio State to number one. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if going into championship weekend, conference championship weekend, Ohio State jumps LSU, given that LSU is going to play, you know, no ranked teams between now and then. I think they have Arkansas this weekend and won't play a ranked team until Georgia and the SEC championship game. So it wouldn't surprise me if they jump up then. But, you know, the committee, obviously it's a bit of a television show and they like to make it somewhat dramatic. So maybe they wait, but I do think if Ohio State handles their business, you know, wins similar to how we're predicting against Penn State, goes to Ann Arbor and gets a good win on the road against a rival ranked highly, and then, you know, handles its business in the Big Ten championship game, they win. And even actually, you know, just to veer off course a little bit, I was talking with a friend last night who asked me what I thought if Ohio State loses one of these two games. And I said, you know, I think if, God forbid, they lose at Michigan, I think Ohio State still gets in, assuming they go on and win the Big Ten championship game. You know, maybe they get in as the 4 seed, but you're still in the playoffs, and obviously they've won the championship before as that 4 seed. So I think Ohio State's sitting in a very good spot, assuming they win against Penn State this weekend and look the part. And if they win those next two games, then I think they're the number one team in the country.
Great stuff from Patrick Murphy. Really appreciate it, Patrick. And thank you to all listeners out there for tuning into the show. I appreciate that as well. Hope everyone enjoys the game tomorrow. Let's hear that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.